Hi, and welcome back. This is day two of our audio advent, and we're going right back into the story about Zechariah. Luke, in chapter 1, tells us that he walked into the temple. Surely he was unaware of what awaited him, and for years he had practiced and prepared for this moment. And then he entered. It must have been a beautiful sight. The temple inner court was separated from the rest of society. It was decorated in gold everywhere. The altar of incense was in the holy place, where only select priests could ever enter. Right in front of the altar was that great and glorious veil, 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, and thicker than a dictionary. The giant curtain stood in between Zechariah and the holiest artifact in all of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant. What a sight! But what happened next is truly remarkable. Let's read it together in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. At the hour of incense, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and overcome with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." An angelic visit. There at the altar where Zechariah was standing, an angel of the Lord appeared. What would you do if you were all alone inside a sacred temple and suddenly a blazing creature of light showed up? Oh, well, Zechariah was terrified. Now, angels, they are mysterious creatures indeed, utterly different from man. One is said to have killed over 180,000 men of war with one swoop, and some are covered in eyes, others covered in wings. In the book of Revelation, John saw an angel and attempted to worship him. But the most important thing about an angel is not what he looks like, but the fact that he brings a message. In fact, the word angelos in the Greek means messenger. Now, I'm sure Zechariah's heart nearly leaped out of his chest when he saw this creature. It says in the King James, "Fear fell upon him like a bolt of lightning falls on a metal rod." And did you know that there are two words that an angel says almost every time they meet a man? It's the words, "Fear not," mephobia. That must have been encouraging. So Zechariah won't immediately burst into flames then? And the angel continues, "Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, the name John means Yahweh is a gracious giver. How about that? What a gift. But wait a second. What's the meaning of all this? Why such gracious hope now? Let's listen to the angel's words. "And you shall have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now we see something here. Zechariah and Elizabeth's life, their suffering, their waiting, and their soon-to-be son, John, it's all pointing to something bigger. And this is the exciting part. You know, my wife really likes to bake. Cakes, cookies, and all sorts of things. And if you know anything about a good baker, there's bound to be a good mess involved. It's almost like the whole kitchen becomes anointed with the sweetness of what is about to come. It's not enough for a cake just to be sweet. The counters themselves must now appear to be edible. That's what I like to call a messy blessing. And what a reflection of God's nature. You know, something truly miraculous is about to happen when everything around it becomes miraculous. You see, it wasn't enough for there to be one miraculous birth. Jesus' coming is so special that the man destined to roll out the red carpet himself had a special story. It's as if the mountains can't keep a secret. Something is happening in the kitchen, and you can smell its aroma as soon as you open the door. All this, I know, was more than Zechariah could handle. But we'll talk about that part tomorrow. For now, let's look a little closer at the promise that's a given. It says, first, many will rejoice at his birth. So Zechariah, your son is going to be the cause of celebration in your country. Right now, you can see that God isn't just saying to Zechariah, Zechariah, I love you. Here's a kid. But he's saying, Zechariah, your story is part of a different and bigger story. That your life is not ultimately about you, but it's about a greater story. And you know, that's true for you today as well. If you think that your life is all about you, don't be surprised when you're wrapped up in misery and questions. But Zechariah was told by God that his son would bring joy and gladness to many. Then it says that basically he will never consume alcohol. Now, what this means is that he would be a Nazirite from birth to death. In the Old Testament, there was a vow that an Israelite could make called a Nazirite vow. And it was generally for a season of time when he wanted to separate himself for fasting, prayer, for seeking God. And so part of the vow would include that he would not cut his hair and that he would not consume alcohol or that he would not touch anything that is dead. And at the end of his vow, he would signify it by cutting his hair and going and making an offering. Well, here the angel is telling Zechariah that John would be sanctified and set apart in this special vow unto God, not just for a season, but for his whole life. It also says, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Now, if a baby in the womb can be full of the Holy Spirit, what does that say about how God feels about babies in the womb? And the angel goes on, he will turn the children of Israel to the Lord. In other words, he will be a preacher, Zechariah, and an effective one. And we know later on, John, this baptizer, he goes around preaching fiery sermons and thousands of Jews surround him, many wanting to be baptized in repentance to seek the Lord. And then it says, he will go before him. Do you see the hint here? The angel is saying that John will be a predecessor, that he will come before the Lord. In other words, John would enter the world as an usher for the real gift. As great as this could have been, John really wasn't the one that they were looking for. Now, in another book, in the Gospel of John, many religious people come up to John the Baptizer and they ask him, are you the one that we've been looking for? Are you the Messiah that should come? And John says, no, it's not me. You're looking for the one that comes after me. He is greater than all. John said, I'll baptize you with water, but he's coming that will baptize you in fire and the Holy Spirit. The angel in the story said that John would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now that means that John would fulfill a very important prophecy in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. So any ancient listener who had heard this promise, especially Zechariah, he would have immediately known that what was happening in his life was much bigger than he could possibly have imagined. God was going to come to his people to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people for the Lord. What a beautiful promise this is, even for us today. What it means is that when God's Spirit is poured out on a people, one of the results is a restoration in the home. The bitterness and pride, neglect, the lovelessness of a father to his own family. Not only is that the most unnatural thing and a consequence of the curse of sin and abounding in our culture right now, but that when God comes, when his Spirit shows up, that the father would want to come back home, that he would love his children. And what a hope this is. God can truly do impossible things for man. He can reach into your heart and break something that you thought unbreakable. that hardness and resentment that you feel toward your parents or toward your spouse or children, oh, God's Spirit can melt the ice and fill you with a new love. Don't you see how much they mean? Go to them. Go to them today and tell them the truth. Tell them, I'm sorry. I've been selfish and I've caused hurt, but God has showed up in my life and He crushed me, and I love you so much. Oh, friend, what a Christmas gift that will be to go and love your family. Go and tell them today and don't wait. And come back tomorrow and join me for day 3 of our countdown to Advent.